Last night, Royals drop one to the Yankees. They lose a series 2-3, but fought like hell in that series. I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, but they looked like a completely different team than the first time when they played them in Kansas City in that four-game stretch where they lost 3-4. But they lose to the Yankees. They finish the final season gauntlet or the riptide 9-11, one game short of 500. I asked the question, if they went 500 in these 20 games, 10-10, would you be satisfied? Majority of people said yes.
Sure.
They still went 9-11 in those 20 games with a seven-game losing streak mixed into that.
I mean, if you're not satisfied over these last 20 games, then I guess you're just not going to be satisfied by this season, you know, for the Royals. And when you look back at what they did over these last 20 games, they increased their lead in the playoff race. What did you say, Nathan, this morning? A six-game lead now from falling out of the playoff spot, right? With like 14 games to go or whatever it is like that. The Royals are all but locked up into a playoff spot right now. And barring an unforeseen epic collapse, the Royals are in the postseason. And so, yeah, they went 9-11 during this gauntlet. But again, perspective of everything. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to some of the stuff that happened on the postgame show here momentarily, because I saw a lot of texts this morning that said to Vern, Royals fans suck. And I'm trying to figure out why the text line was flooded with that kind of comment. I don't know if people are complaining and upset about where the Royals are, but perspective is this. We're talking about a team that's going to the playoffs in Kansas City for the first time in 9 years. It's a pretty damn good spot in which to be. And I don't know what the complaints were on the text line last night or the phone lines last night that had Royals fans all riled up at Vern. But I look at where this team was a year ago at this time, where they are right now, and what has happened, and I'm pretty damn pleased with where they are. And I'll say this, man, their starting rotation has been nothing short of brilliant this year. You know, Lugo last night, or two nights ago, and then even Reagan's last night was really good. He gave up a home run to a guy on one leg. I mean, hey, it happens, right? Sometimes they get the best of you. But the only issue with this team is the bullpen right now. And going into next season, you would expect them to go out there and get that fixed. And I would expect going into next season, the Royals are going to be one of the teams that everybody in baseball is talking about and saying, that's the team that has the opportunity to win this division. You go out and you make a couple of tweaks and let's go. And that's kind of how sports works. Like, I know we've kind of, I don't want to say spoiled with the Royals, but they just kind of came onto the scene in 2014. People will say 13-12, but they came onto the scene in 2014, went all the way to the World Series, 15, they won it. And then the Chiefs come onto the scene and get all the way to the AFC Championship game, and then they've done what they've done. It doesn't normally work like that in sports. A lot of times you see the build coming and you get a couple of nice 500 type seasons and winning seasons. Mm-hmm. That's what this season was for the Royals. It's a team that's on the rise right now that is going to be much better next year than they are right now. And I think you've got to take a lot of pride in that as a fan. And if you're a Royals fan and you're upset with the team at this point in time, I would challenge you to find something that maybe brings you more joy in your life, because this team has brought a lot of people a lot of joy this year based on the way that they played, that they came onto the scene. Nobody expected anything. You got an MVP candidate. You got two Cy Young candidates. You got a Hall of Famer catching. Like, it's been a great season. And if they don't get to the World Series and they don't finish this thing off with a World Championship, who the hell cares? They've taken a major step forward and shown they're an organization that you can believe in going forward.
Yeah, they also have executive of the year opportunities and manager of the year as Piccolo.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, like, everybody's up for everything, right?
And I think they should get it, actually. I think if you go from, what was it, 56 games won to over 81 this year, I mean, they're 80-67. They're a game and a half above Minnesota. They're 4.5 behind Baltimore, but they have a, what, 5.5 game lead over the last place wildcard team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everything should be fine. They showed the graphic last night. They have a 90% chance, I believe, or 96% chance to make the playoffs, one of the highest there is.
Yep.
And you get to go into the playoffs spearheaded with the rotation and everything else. And I'm with you. I don't understand, you know, when it comes to this team, like, what people really want, but Vern's postgame show, apparently.
New York, like, when we get to postseason, they're going to be on their toes, man, because they're going to be like, who are these Royals, man?
Yeah?
Yeah.
New York, like, when we get to postseason, they're going to be on their toes, man, because they're going to be like, who are these Royals, man?
Over under 6.5 Miller High Life.
Oh, God, that's an over, I would imagine, right there. Who are these Royals?
New York, like, when we get to postseason, they're going to be on their toes, man, because they're going to be like, who are these Royals, man?
That's liquor talking, not Miller.
That's not Miller High. That's some gut rot whiskey, man. That's some gut rot Old Crow.
That is your nicotine flavored vodka that they sell.
But I look at what this team takes into the playoffs, and as you take it tier by tier, they have a cool, calm, collected manager, which is what you need for one.
Yeah,
right. The double play last night by Salvador Perez. He came out there, addressed the situation, was like, no, we believe he's out at home. I think he got him at first. And they're like, the umpire, you know, they're going back and forth, the home plate umpire and Q, and they get it resolved. Probably one of the greatest, not probably, it is the greatest defensive play Salvador Perez has ever made. Probably the best defensive play.
Snag that he had at first base down the line was pretty damn good, too.
Better play, MJ Melendez's sliding grab and left or Salvador Perez's double play last night? Those are probably your top two plays of the year defensively for the Kansas City Royals.
And I mean, saved games at the but they ended up winning that MJ game, right?
Yeah, they did.
They lost that game. So I'll give MJ the knock because he had the win. But no, that play, Salvi had a couple of plays last night, snagging that one down the line, looking like a legit, like, oh my God, first baseman, not a guy that, you know, was just there to fill a spot. Like, he's actually really good at first base. I don't think he gets enough credit for how good he's been playing first base defensively. He made a great stop at a diving play last night, and then that play there with the tag and the throw to home was pretty wild as well. It just shows you how good Salvador Perez truly is, and I'm glad he did it in front of a New York audience so they could see him on Broadway and let everybody know that Salvi's really good. I think the MJ one, just because they won, gets the nod for me. But I mean, you go back and you look at where this team was and where they are and what they've, you know, been able to accomplish this year, and there are some questions going into the postseason. I think every team has question marks going into the postseason, but what's really good about the Royals' question marks, it's the bullpen, and you can mask that in the playoffs by putting some of your starters out in the bullpen that aren't going to be starters for you. I think we're down to three, in my opinion, Lugo, Waka, and Reagans as the three guys that you're going to use as your starting pitchers in the playoffs. Whether you're playing a 7-game series or whether you're playing that 3-game series, those are the three guys that I believe you should be using as your starting pitchers. Everybody else will probably be available in the bullpen. You're going to have Lorenzen back. He can be in the bullpen. He's a really good bullpen arm. Brady Singer, probably going to be available for you in the bullpen. Not sure what he's going to bring to the table from a bullpen role because we haven't seen that. So I don't know how he's going to handle that situation, but I'd rather have Brady Singer rolling out there than that long guy or some of these other, you know, that guy with the long legs, Chester MacArthur or whatever it was that came in the other night. So I like where the Royals are, and like based on the problem that they have, the bullpen, it's better than having an offensive problem. Where are you going to find hitters at this point in time, right? It's better than having a defensive problem. It's better than having a starting pitching problem. The Royals have probably the best problem you could have going into the playoffs because it's the most solvable problem going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what you spearheaded with the playoffs with. You have Salvador Perez and Bobby Witt Jr. You have Cole Reagan, Seth Lugo, and you have, you know, Matt Cotrero as your manager. Plus, you have other options that can make your bullpen better as you go through. And again, last night's loss is no secret. They started the game with bases loaded, one out, nobody scored.
Right.
They did not score with runners in scoring position last night.
And they're the best
night.
Team in baseball at that, right?
And not only that, I really enjoyed listening to Jeremy Guthrie last night, kind of dissecting that Juan Soto at bat where he, you know, fouled one off the foot and it just looked absolutely painful. And he's like, that's a well-deserved home run by Juan Soto. One, the pitch before the home run, Reagans threw a nice changeup outside and Soto just kind of barely flicked. And that's why he's a 290 hitter with 40 home runs and over 100 RBIs. But like,
we're praising 290 now. Think about that.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I mean, I think 290's always been good. Yeah. But I mean, like, he, you know, he fouls that off. He spits on that pitch. And then Reagans, unfortunately, was supposed to set up outside. It looked like for Freddie Fermin is what Guthrie said. And he left a little hanging curveball in there. And Juan Soto hit that ball out of the ballpark. And I don't care if that was Yankee Stadium. That ball was out of Kauffman
Stadium.
That ball
was out. Yeah, that ball's out of everything. Yeah.
You know, that's where I'd rather see those mistakes happen now and not later on. And again, you won't have to worry about the Yankees in the first round anyway. You'd go to Baltimore as it is right now. But again, you would go to Baltimore, a team that you were competitive with. You just had a couple of blown saves early on, but you take in starting pitching in the playoffs. And one thing that is a valuable thing to have is starting pitching. Yes, you've got to score when runners are in scoring position in games like that against the Yankees, because like playing the Chiefs, if you don't convert on third and one and punt it to Patrick Mahomes, you are going to get burned. Mm-hmm. If you can't get Juan Soto out on a great pitch, guess what's going to happen? A good hitter is going to take advantage of you, and it's exactly what happened in a two-run home run. Royals still fought in that game, got to extra innings.
Oh, God,
they didn't look lifeless. I mean,
You could have looked lifeless after that top of the first inning by not scoring runs. That could have been like, okay, right. That's where we lost the game. And maybe it really was where you lost the game, but it ended up going to extra innings.
And again, I know people don't want to hear it. They looked a lot more competitive this late in the season against the Yankees than they did in the first go-round against the Yankees when they got absolutely, blasted in four games here in Kansas City. So I look at where this team started, the expectations, and to where they are here. Now I'm just ready to get into the playoffs. If you play that three-game series, which you most likely will on the road, you get to take your starting pitching with you, and your starting pitching is what's gotten you here, and you got to continue to carry it. And either way you want to look at it, you're going to have a blue October.
I would be more concerned about this team going into the playoffs if they were a mashing team like the Yankees have been over the last 15 years. This is a pitching team.
Right.
Pitching teams win in the postseason. Runs are a premium in the postseason. If you score four or five runs in a playoff game, odds are really good you're going to win that playoff game because that's how good pitching is. That's how hard it is to score in October. It's a completely different game. The managers are going to manage differently. You're going to see different things that we haven't seen during the course of the regular season. Like, I'm really excited to see how Q manages this team in the playoffs. I'm excited to watch some of these games. And, you go back to that Baltimore series at the beginning of the year, kind of a microcosm of where the Royals were. Like, that series pretty much told the entire story of this Royals team. Good on offense, good starting pitching, bullpen blew it. And they did their best to try to fix the bullpen during this, during this season with the additions that they made in Lorenzen and getting Ursig. And where would they be without Ursig right now? That guy's absolutely amazing. He pitched two great innings last night. Like, I love watching that guy come in and pitch. And, and I know Bubich is going to be on the hook and, didn't get necessarily the job then, but I think he's kind of a reliable guy that you can have as well. But, we'll get into October, we'll play some playoff baseball, and we'll see where they are. And hell, they may surprise some people, right? You don't know what this team is going to do and how it's going to galvanize once they get in the postseason. I hope Bobby Witt finds his stroke back a little bit. Ryan was kind of, saying, like, he hasn't had a big hit in a while. And so I hope he's able to find his stroke once we get back to the postseason. I think he will. I think he'll be just fine with all of that. But, I mean, like, if you're down on this team right now, I just don't know what to tell you. Maybe you're just not somebody who can be pleased, because I think the majority of us as Royals fans have loved this season. Know there's holes. No team is perfect right now. But I got to believe, based on what they've done and how they've operated since JJ and John Sherman have taken over this operation, they're going to fix this damn thing in the bullpen in the offseason, and we're going to roll into the next season, and the Royals are going to be considered one of the favorites to win the World Series.
Chiefs season starts with Baltimore. Royals season starts with Baltimore. Maybe Baltimore seasons both end with Kansas City teams knocking them out of the playoffs. You never know, but you know one thing.
New York, like, when we get to postseason, they're going to be on their toes, man.
That's right.
They're going to be like, who are these rules, man?
Guy's got a damn marble light hanging from his lips.
Oh, yes,
there.
He did. That's a camel light, man.
Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Nate with you as well. Coming up on the other side, our guy Ben Maller joins 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.